gun he'd been assembling, pulling the trigger and gauging the action by the sound the mechanism made. He looked pleased.
Hey, impressive. Rate of fire of 500 rounds per minute, a muzzle velocity of 895 MPS, and a range of 10,000 feet. This blaster can destroy any soft target it can reach, and that includes buildings.
Doc nodded, silently wondering if it might have been better if none of his descendants had survived the new cost.
How are you?
Mildred had been assigned to the Circle to help with the wounded combatants. She hadn't had much to do so far, except pronounce two of them dead. Ryan looked over his arms and shoulders.
Not a scratch on me yet.
Try to keep it that way.
Brody wasn't as lucky. He had suffered a cut on his right arm.
I intend to.
I don't think Richmond and Hambley are likely to team up this next round. Something about Secman and Muties just don't mix. If anything, Richmond will be after you, wanting to give you payback for killing Salazar. Hambley will either be taken out by Mog and his men, or he'll be hugging the edge of the Circle, hoping a wound will take him out at the next break.
Can't he just quit?
Brody shook his head.
He could, but that would make him a laughingstock.
Enough yakking! On your feet!
Ryan and Brody stood along with the others.
Ready?
The crowd screamed its approval.
Fight!
As Brody had suggested, Mog and his men went after Hambley, allowing Richmond the chance to go after Ryan. Brody made sure Dorfman, Billingsley, and Foghat remained with Mog and didn't try to take out Ryan amid the confusion.
You're good with a knife, Cyclops.
Better to be quick with a knife than quick with my mouth.
Richmond was a tall, lanky man. Ryan estimated they weighed about the same, but Richmond stood about 3 inches taller. Unlike the knife scars he'd seen on other Sekhmen and slaves here, Richmond had a big, round blaster scar on his right shoulder that was about 3 inches across. The wound was set back in the flesh about an inch, as if someone had scooped out a patch of flesh with a knife.
You want me to put down the knife, Cyclops?
Ryan shrugged.
No problem.
Richmond dropped his knife onto the ground and kicked it to the edge of the Circle. Meanwhile, Mog and his three men had Hambley, the Muties, surrounded. Billingsley was poking him with his pike, while Foghat was slashing at his back with his sword. There was pale red blood flowing over the mutant's equally pale flesh, making him look like a pre-dark barber's pole. Every once in a while, Hambley would make a break for the Circle's edge, but Mog would always catch him and pull him back for still more torture. As Ryan was dealing with Richmond, he noticed what was going on out of the corner of his eye, and knew he'd have no trouble chilling Mog when the time came. He was too careless and casual in his way, and Ryan would take full advantage of it when the time came. He looked back at Richmond and threw his ponga to the ground, where the tip dug into the hard, dry earth and stuck, leaving the handle to quiver slightly in the sun.
I'll get more pleasure chilling you with my bare hands anyway. That way it'll happen slowly and with plenty of pain.
Ryan said nothing, concentrating solely on Richmond's hands and feet. Dorfman, one of Mog's cronies, wandered over toward Richmond and Ryan, looking for a chance to chill one of them while they fought. But Brody stepped forward, waving the sharp end of his pike in Dorfman's face, and the man backed off. Richmond lunged at Ryan, but the one-eyed man was able to move left out of the way. Richmond turned, a slight smile on his face, then lunged again, this time feigning left, then moving right. Ryan again stepped to the side, but this time as Richmond passed him, he put out a knee, catching the Sec man in the thigh and sending him spinning to the ground. Richmond spat dust and dirt from his mouth and rolled onto his back, expecting Ryan to be right there towering over him. But Ryan was standing well back, waiting for the Sec man to regain his feet.
You'll be sorry you didn't try to finish me off, Cyclops.
I'll make you the same offer I made your friend. If you leave at the next break, I won't show you.
Richmond said nothing for several seconds, then began to laugh.
You're gonna spare my life, slave?
I'm no slave.
Richmond grabbed a handful of dirt and dust and threw it in Ryan's face. The one-eyed man had been expecting as much from the Sec man and turned his head to the right, causing the grit to sting his face and fall harmlessly against the patch of his left eye. Ryan moved in, not giving the downed Sec man any more time to get back to his feet. But before he could get his hands on Richmond, the man had a knife in his right fist. He gave it a flick, and a 4-inch blade appeared, as if out of the air. The crowd had noticed Richmond's weapon, and realized he had brought it into the ring with him. They began to boo and throw rotten food and vegetables into the Circle. Ryan was hit in the back, an overripe tomato. Grunwald got up from his chair, looking as if he might stop the fighting or force Richmond to drop his weapon, but the Baron motioned for Grunwald to sit down, then waved his hands, signaling that the combatants continue their fight. Ryan ducked low and kicked at Richmond's feet, sending the Sec man spinning onto his back. Without hesitation, he kicked him again, this time hard in the stomach. Richmond sputtered and coughed up a mouthful of bile, but still managed to slash at Ryan's leg, splitting the fabric of his pant leg open at the knee. Brody moved in with his pike to pin the Sec man down, but Ryan waved him off.
I don't need your help. Just watch my back.
The crowd roared its approval and turned its attention away from Mog's battle with Hambly. The mutie had been cut and slashed so many times that he would probably bleed to death before the next break. That hadn't stopped Mog from continuing the torture, cutting off pieces of the mutant's body just to see how long he could remain standing. The sadistic punishment had held the crowd's interest for a while, but paled in comparison to the drama of the close contest being waged between Richmond and Ryan. Richmond slashed at Ryan with his knife, forcing the one-eyed man to back away. When a few yards separated them, the Sec man reached behind his back and produced a second knife. For a moment it seemed he might toss it to Ryan to make it a fair fight, but it soon became apparent he had no intention of doing anything of the sort. He came at Ryan with both knives leading the way. Ryan backpedaled from the slashing steel, then tripped on something on the ground and fell onto his back. A groan of disappointment washed over the crowd as it looked as if Ryan would be chilled, but the one-eyed man grabbed a handful of dirt and flung it at the face of the approaching Sec man, just as the Sec man had done to him scant minutes before. Richmond stopped in his tracks and did his best to clear his eyes of the grit, but it was no use. He couldn't open his eyes, and even if he could, he'd still be unable to see. Ryan sprung up to his feet, ran around to Richmond's side, and rammed his heel into the Sec man's knee. Richmond's leg bent backward, toppling him to the ground like a felled tree, and forcing him to drop one of his knives and use a free hand to try to clear the dirt from his eyes. Ryan reached into his back pocket and pulled out the brass knuckles he'd been given earlier in the day. He hadn't planned on using the weapon, but since Richmond had set the tone for the fight, he had no problem slipping the heavy metal rings over the knuckles of his right hand. Reaching back and cocking his arm, Ryan threw his fist forward, catching the downed Sec man in the back of the head. The brass rings broke through Richmond's skull, allowing Ryan's knuckles to put a fist-sized hole in the man's head. Needless to say, he was chilled instantly. But Ryan wanted to make sure and threw four more punches before climbing off the box. He rose to the sounds of a rousing cheer. Grunwald chose that moment to ring the bell, allowing everyone, including the crowd, a chance to rest, and giving the mutant Hambly an even chance of recovering from his wounds. Ryan picked up his panga, then sat to catch his breath. As Mildred handed him a bottle of water, he checked the pant leg that had been cut open and found the skin beneath unbroken.
Are you hurt?
Ryan shook his head, then upended the bottle and gulped down the water.
I don't like the odds in this next round.
What do you mean? It's only 2-4.
She cracked a smile for Ryan and winked at Brody.
I know what you're saying. I don't trust the four of them to fight fair.
Who's been fighting fair so far?
Sorry to run, but I've got a dying mutie the Baron wants mended. Good luck, guys.
Thanks.
Ryan passed the water bottle to Brody. Before Mildred left the scene, she suddenly turned back.
Almost forgot. Christy sends her love.
Ryan looked up at the stage and saw Christy sitting there at the Baron's side. The afternoon sun shone brightly against her hair, turning it the color of crimson fire. She waved at Ryan then, giving him a thumbs up and blowing him a gentle kiss that was hidden from the view of the Baron. Ryan felt revitalized and decided that despite what Brody had said, the odds in the next round suited him just fine.
How are you enjoying the contest, my pretty?
Christy looked away from her lover and toward the Baron.
It's very, very bloody and violent.
Oh, indeed it is. And exciting.
I suppose it is, if you like that sort of thing. Chilling people for no reason.
Don't you find it exciting?
I've seen plenty of men chilled in my life. Some deserved it, some didn't. But it's almost always a waste of life.
That only seemed to excite the Baron further.
Oh, I bet you have seen plenty of dead men. Even chilled a few of them yourself, eh?
A few.
Oh, You must tell me about them sometime. In precise detail.
If you like. And then once I tell you about them, you'll be joining that list, you perverted fool.